This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is your Sunday 88 Films Italian Collection series of reviews. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. Up on this episode, continuing that 88 Film Italian Collection run, we are doing disc number 51 in the collection. This is Killer Croc 2, or Killer Crocodile 2. Let's give it its full name. No shortened terms here. Now, 3 weeks ago, we did Killer Crocodile 1, or Killer Crocodile, and I was surprised by how much fun I had watching that movie. Hugely entertaining. 88 Films currently have these two movies out in a box set, as opposed to individual releases. I imagine somewhere down the line, they will be separated into individual titles. But at the moment, anyway, it is box-setted. And yeah, this is the second disc in it. I've been kind of looking forward to getting into this one, to be honest. It's shot a year after. I would imagine the production just rolls into this one. And some people online had kind of told me that the second installment is just as much fun as the first movie. So we will find out if that is the case after the first break. Now, this is the last episode of this week. It has been a hectic week, to say the least. We have almost done an episode every single day, and the content's been awesome. Everything from the Wannaverse right back at the start of the week, right through to interviews with Bruce MacDonald for his movie Dreamland, or Jeremy Gardner and Christian Stella for their movie After Midnight, the fact that we've launched a new movie club title in Theses, what else did we do? Oh, we did Body Bags yesterday as well. So it's been really, really, really fun. And what better way to conclude it than talking about a giant, goofy crocodile? It makes me happy. Tomorrow is a brand new week of podcasting, and we will be kicking it off with the third disc in the Indicator Bloody Terror Norman J. Warren box set. The third movie is Terror, and I'll be joined, as always on that series, by my good buddy Derek Bourgeois, and we will be looking at that movie. We're at the halfway point with that series, so only two movies left to cover. But it's proved to be a ton of fun, and I'll give a little bit of spoiler away here. I actually really liked Terror. I thought it was a bloody good movie, so looking forward to chatting about that for you guys tomorrow. On the Teapots Collective, dropping tonight, you will get the next installment of Chronicle, looking at Requiem for a Village. It's the last movie in Chapter 2 of our Season 3, looking at British folk horror movies. A lesser seen movie, to say the least, but one that is worthy of reappraisal for sure. So it's Requiem for a Village from 1976, and that will be coming tomorrow. Okay, let's do this. Let's get into Italian collection mindset here. We're going to take a short break. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the trailer for Killer Crocodile 2 from 1990. When I return, I'm discussing that movie right after this.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com. Or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
one of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
And welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for disc number 51 in the Italian collection here. This is Killer Crocodile 2. Let's go to the back of the box, because sadly the website doesn't give you the blurb for both of these movies, only for the first one. So this is what it says in the back of the box. If you go back into the swamps today, be sure of a big surprise. From the special effects guru Gianetto De Rossi of Dune comes this blood-soaked follow-up to Killer Crocodile. The swamps of Santo Domingo are still haunted by the waste of the industrial industry, and Anthony Crenna of The Blob is out to prove the dangers plaguing the local water sources with the help of a reporter and love interest, Lisa, played by Deborah Carr. At the same time, a greedy property developer pushes to secure a location for his pet project, a swanky new holiday resort overlooking a toxic river. Despite the area's problems with a mutated killer crocodile chowing down anyone dumb enough to enter the water. Stepping behind the camera for his first and to date only time, BAFTA nominee Gianetto De Rossi, who's also credited on The Last Emperor, amps up the gore, set pieces and general nastiness to cement the sequel's place in the annals of exploitation. Hold on to your limbs, because Killer Crocodile 2 is not only bigger and badder than anything that's gone before, but it's also beautiful, thanks to this lush 2K restoration from 88 Films. The bonus features on the disc are a brand new 2K remaster from the original 35mm negatives, in 185:1 aspect ratio, remastered uncompressed English audio, optional SDH subtitles, remastered uncompressed Italian audio with newly translated subtitles, Maidens and Flesh Eaters, a career-spanning interview with the FX master Gianetto De Rossi, deleted scenes, trailer, Reversible sleeve with newly created artwork by Jeremy Palner and the original Italian poster art. So, Killer Crocodile 2 is very much like everyone said it was, a big ball of nonsense entertainment. I had a lot of fun with this one. Truth be told, I thought in some respects some of the deaths and setups were better than the first one, and in other, you know, extents they completely shat the bed. There's a scene here which kind of opens our movie with them in like open seawater when the crocodile attacks, which I'm just assuming no one that worked on set knew that crocodiles can't do that, you know, freshwater, not seawater. I'm assuming that's the case. That was my assumption. And it was very Jawsy, very Jaws ripoff, and we've got the music playing in the background, which is once again very Jawsy. I want to say the music's done by Ritz Ortolani, but it's, you know, incredibly Jawsy. It's, you know, I kind of thought at that point, I was like, oh, we've jumped the, for lack of a better term, jumped the shark here on this one, and this might get a bit cringy. But then it slips into familiar territory. It uses a lot of the same set pieces as what you've seen before. Uses some of the same characters. It has flashback sequences. Ultimately ends pretty much the same way the first movie ends. We're basically almost doing a remake of sorts, except we exist in a world now that we are fully aware of the killer crocodile. Some of the crocodile stuff is still rad though. There's a scene where there are some kind of industrialist poacher sort of guys staying in a cabin, and the crocodile's head comes through, and it's this massive prop, and as it's pulling back out, you've got this like this building being pulled by this croc, and there's all sorts of camera trickery there for sure. But I really, really dug it. I thought it was a striking visual effect for 1990. And then you have to juxtapose that with scenes of a character attacking a crocodile, and it is literally a toy doll and a toy crocodile being splashed in what I would imagine is a bathtub. Which kind of undoes some of that hard work. It's goofy and it's fun and it's exploitation at its core, but I don't necessarily know if, when making this movie, everyone was on board to give the best in the effects, which is surprising considering the guy behind the camera is, you know, so lauded for his, you know, visual effects work. You would just expect it to be on a higher level. I imagine budgetary constraints were tight here, and that's maybe what undid it. The acting, I think, in this one is marginally better than the acting in the first installment. I think people appear to be giving this the right sort of credit in the way they perform. No one's taking it ridiculously serious, but at the same time, no one's rolling their eyes when they're saying their dialogue, and I think that aids the movie somewhat as well. The runtime also aids this one. It's under an hour and a half, which is a movie I will want to watch any day of the week. And it keeps it tight, keeps the movie quite close, and gets through all the beats that it needs to. I mean, the plot's nonsense, and it's as equally nonsense as anything that we saw in the first one, but then it's as equally as nonsense as anything we saw in Alligator from the early 80s, so you just have to sometimes roll with eco horror as being a steroid-injected manifestation of, look at what we're doing to nature. If we don't stop, massive killer crocodiles will be chewing our legs off. I think the other thing that kind of stood out for me is the camera work is actually really good in this. So cinematography works really well. We're basically using the same score as the previous movie, but there's some playful angles and shots that are being delivered here in a cinematography point of view, which, as my brain was starting to wander off as some of the dialogue came over, the dialogue is not great in this movie, I started to appreciate a lot more of what was happening behind the camera. And, you know, they really managed to nail a lot of those aspects down in a way which felt satisfying to me. I mean, Killer Crocodile 2 is essentially a rehash of Killer Crocodile, and considering it's 1 year apart, it doesn't really surprise me. What surprised me is they managed to get two movies, you know, financed, greenlit, and done back to back. And the fact that you have returning characters as well, I think, is, you know, as a sign that people involved with the project, even if it did run straight into the second movie shoot, the people were invested in what we're doing, or at least wanted to do what they were doing on the screen, which I think goes a long way, especially in exploitation. Some people get a bit, for lack of a better word, embarrassed about being involved with exploitation cinema, and as soon as they can, the first opportunity they have, they will bimse. But everyone here seemed to be enjoying it. And I would say the weird thing is, if you have never seen Killer Croc, you could probably watch Killer Crocodile too. It gives you enough flashback and context pretty quick, and it's essentially the same movie. You know, we're not really getting anything above and beyond. So yeah, overall, some of it is kind of cool. I like some of the special effects at times are very ropey, and kind of see through. The kind of 2K restoration doesn't help, although the 2K restoration is bitching, and that's why it doesn't help. And overall, it was okay for what it is. I have nothing really much more to say about it. I feel like I've already had this conversation just 3 weeks ago when I was talking about the first installment. I would say if you're into eco-horror, if you're into animal or nature run-amok movies, if you're into Italian exploitation, then this is almost a mandatory purchase. I'd never seen any of them before sitting down to do this run. And I will watch both of these movies again. I know that for a fact. And that kind of makes me happy. It's not often that I get like as giddy about sitting down to watch something again as much as I did with these two movies. I think overall this one scores a 4 out of 5. I really liked it. But then I really liked the first one. I can see the holes and I could shoot peas through them. They're that big. But I don't know. There's something kind of... It's the entertainment vibe from it that I think sells the movie for me. And not a lot else, if I'm honest. But entertainment can get you a whole hell of a lot of the way in my good graces. And both Killer Crocodile movies have it in spades. And this one, yeah, maybe not as good as the first one, but definitely entertained me. That hour and 20 odd fucking flew in. So a 4 out of 5 for Killer Crocodile 2. The box set is available for a reasonable price wherever you can buy Blu-rays, so go and check it out if you get the chance. Right, I'm going to take my final break of the show. When I come back, I'm closing it out. I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been your 88 Films Italian Collection series of reviews, looking at this number 51 in the collection, which was Killer Crocodile 2. In 3 weeks' time, we make a trip to this number 52, which is, and I'm going to struggle with the pronunciation of this one, I think it's Paganini Horror. Might not be, but that's how it reads to me. This is disc number 52. The details from the website are thus: an all-girl rock group head to a remote villa for a music video shoot. They are in desperate need of a hit single and purchase sheets of music from the mysterious Mr. Pickett, who is played by the legendary Donald Pleasence. They are told the music is a lost piece from the legendary violinist Niccolò Paganini. Now I see where we're getting the name from here. And see this as their top ticket to the charts. Little do they know that this music is cursed and that they have just unleashed hell upon themselves. Soon the spirit of Paganini is roaming the villa, armed with a murderous violin and picking off the fame-hungry members one by one. From the mind of Luigi Cozzi of Contamination, Daria Nicolodi of Suspiria, comes Paganini Horror, Jesus Christ, a slashtastic piece of cheesy Euro horror that could only have been made in the 80s. 88 Films are proud to present this bonkers slice of Italian cult cinema, a camp classic in the making, ripe for rediscovery and destined to be your new favourite worst movie. Now, even more outrageous thanks to this rocking 2K restoration. The special features are a brand new 2K remaster from the original 16mm negatives and 166:1 aspect ratio, extensive cleanup and colour correction carried out in the UK, remastered uncompressed English audio, optional English SDH subtitles, a remastered uncompressed Italian audio with newly translated subtitles, an audio commentary by genre expert Troy Holworth, body violin director Luigi Cozzi on Paganini Horror. It's a 31-minute interview with actor Pietro Grinaldi at 26 minutes long, a remastered trailer. The technical specs are it's region locked to region B, audio is LPCM stereo, picture format is 1080p, HD 166:1. The runtime is 83 minutes. Oh, that's another hour and 21 for Duncan. Yes! Languages are English and Italian, and subtitles are English. Never fucking heard of this movie. We'll be interested to find out what it's like. So, sounds shit, but we will see when we get to it. There's a multitude of ways to check out the show. Wherever you're listening to us right now, please subscribe to the feed. That way you don't miss any of the content we put out from Under the Stairs. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to the Tea Putts Collective feed as well. It's additional content and it's free, so no reason not to do it. You can visit us on teaputscast.com. You can buy merch to support the show from teaputscast.bigcartel.com. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teaputscast is the podcast Under the Stairs group page. The Teaputs Collective page is facebook.com/teaputscast. You can reach out and touch myself and the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness. Instagram and Twitter both can be followed at TeaButsCast. And if you want to check us out on the Flick Chat app, you can download that app free and available on Android and iOS. It's called Flick Chat and our join code is TeaButsCast. The podcast Under the Stairs will return to you tomorrow to do the next in the installments, part 3. Of the Indicator Bloody Terror box set, the movies of Norman J. Warren. We are covering Terror from 1978, myself and my guest Derek Bourgeois. But until then, wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish, broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.